Was asked recently about angels, and if you're not careful how you spell it, you'll say an angle. Okay, so I got some angles here. But the angels, someone asked, what do you believe about angels? Right? Timber, you ever thought about angels before? Yeah, right? Okay, some of you kids have. And what are angels? Are they still around us today? And other questions like that we'll answer. Anyways, I thought of that, brought it up. And I thought, you know what, that'd be a good series to go through on a Wednesday night just to kind of clarify something like that. What are angels? Okay. Now, Hebrews 1, let's go ahead and start verse 1. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times, divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, oh, there's so much in those verses, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than, notice, the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Jump down to verse 13, if you will. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And they, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Okay, so just a clarification here. We'll look at this about the angels. Now, let me clarify something as we start out again. There's a lot talked about and preached about and thought about angels. People like angels for some reason, and they emphasize angels. And they'll even worship angels. There's certain angels. Now, something to clarify in Scripture, and you look this up for yourself too. Anytime an angel appeared to a human being, that human being automatically did one thing. They fell down and worshiped the angel. And what did the angel do? He every time said, get up, don't worship me, right? You guys know that. Do not worship me. Now, there is one angel who loves worship. And his name is what? Lucifer, right? Satan. Oh, he loves it. And he even tells Jesus, remember the Christ, he tells him, well, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms. Now, think about that. One day, they will all bow down to this satanic person, first the Antichrist, but also Satan himself. And he will relish that. And yet then God will come and destroy all of that and disperse them and ultimately cast them all into the lake of fire. We must understand and be clear, very, very careful about what an angel is and obviously come to the Scriptures. Okay, now let's look at our notes tonight. Notice God reveals to us in Scripture that he has created other beings that are above us in intelligence and power. He calls these beings angels. Psalm 8, verse 4. Notice in your notes there. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. 2 Peter 2, verse 11 goes along with it. Says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Okay, so very clearly, angels are present. Now, notice the second paragraph, the word angels appears some 94 times in Scriptures, and many other times, by the way, too. And the singular word angel appears 203 times. The Hebrew word means to dispatch as a deputy. It's a messenger, specifically of God. That is an angel, a prophet, priest, or teacher, and is also translated ambassador, king, or messenger. The Greek word means to bring tidings, messenger, especially an angel, by implication a pastor. They are sometimes referred to as the host of heaven. That's in 1 Kings 22:19. Notice it says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him. on his right hand and on his left. And Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. So these are supernatural heavenly beings who act as God's messengers to men and as agents who carry out his very will. Hebrews 2 and verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Again, just clarifying angels. Acts 7:53, we have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Okay, so very clear. Now let's look at this. Number one, that there is the existence of angels. It is assumed in Scripture. It is assumed. Everyone got their notes? Everyone, you good kids got yours? Okay. It's assumed in Scripture. Just as there is no attempt to prove the existence of God, neither is there any attempt to made to prove the existence of angels. So, clear, right? We don't come and say, well, in the beginning, God, parentheses, now let me clarify who God is. No, it just assumes. God. That's the same thing with angels. Just assumes that they're there. We don't have a lot of description about angels. We don't know a lot about them. But we do know they are powerful. We do know they are extremely powerful, very intelligent, etc., etc., all the things we could say. Okay? Letter A, then, they are introduced to us in Genesis. Now, Genesis 19:1, again, I have it in your notes. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Toward the ground. Now, clarify, these angels were very, very distinct, weren't they? Because the men of the city, I'll be very careful because of the kids here, but you know the story. The men of the city saw these two guys and said, who are these guys? Man, they're not like us. They don't look like us. They're good looking. Okay, they were unique. And you think about that. They were very unique. Now, these little froofy things flying around, maybe your grandma has at her house in the pictures, okay, these little chubby babies with wings on them with a harp in them, that's not an angel, just clarifying, okay. And you think about, these were unique, very unique. Genesis 28:12. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. Now, very interesting. A lot of people call that Jacob's ladder, and he had that vision. And so we understand Genesis 32:1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God, they met him. They met him. Letter B, then, the New Testament presents them as a matter of fact. The Lord Jesus spoke of them quite often, actually. Matthew 13:39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Matthew 18:10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven they're angels. They're angels. Notice that. Do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Do we have a guardian angel? Yes. Especially of the children. We must be very careful. Why do bad things happen to little kids, innocent kids? We don't understand all of that. But we do know we have a guardian angel. And I've said it before. But when I get to heaven, my guardian angel is going to point his finger at me and say, get over here. I got a lot to talk to you about, you rascal. I kept you alive more times than you know. Okay. No, just being serious now. Matthew 22:30, the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay. Number two, Satan spoke of them in his temptation of Christ. I already mentioned this. But he says what? Cast thyself down. Matthew 4:6. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now he's quoting from the Old Testament a great prophecy. And the devil knows more scripture than we do, by the way. And he will tempt us. And he will say, doesn't the scripture say? Say, well, yeah, it does. And he wants to twist us up, confuse us. So Satan spoke of him clearly. Paul, thirdly, and other apostles referred to him. He says that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Okay. Oh, now turn the page here. Secondly, so we see not only the existence of angels clearly assumed in Scripture, but then the nature of angels, it differs from man. Okay. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, it is said, for verily he took not on him, notice the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This is very, very, very interesting in your theology, in your doctrine, okay? We must understand that. Specifically, that many believe that Jesus Christ took on the form of, or very similar to an angel, but he didn't. He took on the form of a man. And Hebrews will clarify this later in chapter 4 as he talks about, listen, Jesus was tempted just like we are. He went through all of it, yet without sin. Why? To set us an example, to leave it for us. Well, you know, Jesus was Jesus, and boy, he doesn't understand me. No, he does. He understands everything you're going through. He does that very thing. Now, we must be very careful, and we see that. Now, letter A, they are created beings. Psalm 148:2, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. They were created. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Angels are not the spirits of the departed or glorified human beings. Underline that. Because that, and I had a few books I was going to bring up, but anyways, there's a lot of books on that. People think that. You ever heard someone say, oh, I saw an angel of light? Okay, maybe they did. But primarily, we must be very careful because of many people glorifying what an angel is when they're not. It's not a family member that departed and they took on the form of this enlightened being. Okay, under that they're created beings. One, created individually rather than or by procreation. Okay, we must clarify there's no procreation involved with the angels. Okay, it was created. God created each one and created them for a unique purpose. Two, created during the creation week. Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And then letter B, they are spirit beings. The angels are spirit beings without physical bodies. Psalm 104:4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. And Hebrews 1:14, as we read, are ministering spirits. So in their angelic form, they are invisible to the human eye. When they appeared to man, they took on human form and passed for men. In Genesis 18, we saw that. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. Lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. So immediately he recognized it and immediately knew that there was something different. He, obviously, Abraham and his great discernment and wisdom knew who it was. And Genesis 19:15. And again, I'm giving you all these verses. I want you to look them up for yourself. I'm just reading the text verse. There's so much that comes before it and after these verses. The whole chapters are very, very interesting. But Genesis 19:15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the wife, hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So very clear. They are invisible to the human eye, but they did take on human form. And we see it throughout Scripture. We're going to study this in the next couple of weeks too as well. But that's true. And they see these angelic beings, and every time a human being does, they immediately recognize who it is. You know, there's something different. Okay, we're going to see how that they have the power here next. Number two, though, there seems to be no gender distinction among the angels. However, when the word angel is used in the Scriptures, it is always in the masculine form. There's no indication in Scripture that they ever appear in female form. Okay? Some things we don't understand, and the Bible's not real clear on that, but every time the angel is mentioned, it is masculine, and so we must take it as that, okay? Let's see here. Letter C, they are beings of great might and power. Now, I want you to notice this here. Very, very interesting. There's great might and power. Now, Peter makes mention in 2 Peter 2, angels, he says, which are greater in power and might, talking about man particularly. And Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Their power is delegated. Now, we'll see this later on, but there are archangels that are heads of and over many angels at a time. We know that. One Michael, other Gabriel, those individuals. And if you were privileged in the Bible to see one of those men, or excuse me, angels, it was a great day. Okay, and we'll get to see them very soon, by the way. And so notice a couple of these things, very fascinating. One angel smote the firstborn of Egypt. Another smote 185,000 Assyrians. Well, if you could go to Isaiah 37, I want to read this. I better go there to read it before I, as I usually will, mess it up. Let's see, Isaiah 37. And notice this, amazing. It's 37, 36. One angel. Okay, where am I? 37, 36. Oh, notice, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp. Now, the angel, that's one. Of the Assyrians, 185,000. When they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Well, how did he kill them all? Not exactly sure, but he smote them all. And can you imagine that? And one angel has the power to kill 185. Have you ever seen 185,000 people in one place? I don't know, anybody in here seen that before? Brother Ryan, he does that often, seeing those, being a part of that. But 185,000 people. I mean, that's crazy. That is crazy. You go to a football game, or you ever been to a big NFL game or something like that, NBA game, they pack those people in there like sardines. I mean, 60,000 people in a stadium. But 185,000 people, that is something that is horrific. And you think about the power of these angels. That's what we have. As you know, he went through Egypt and the firstborn as well. But also, secondly, the one angel was able to roll away the great stone from the mouth of the tomb. That may not sound like a great feat to some people, but that's a great feat. Those stones were extremely big and extremely heavy for a reason. And it would take many, many horses to move that thing into place. And it says when those ladies came early in the morning, what? It was rolled away. It was rolled to the side. And wondering how that could have happened, even the centurions or the guards there stood there, and you know how they reacted. They fainted, literally, when they saw it. One angel, thirdly, will have power to lay hold on the devil and then bind him for 1,000 years. Revelation 20. I think it was last year, went through eschatology, the end times, and talked about some of that. But just one angel. As powerful and mighty as Satan is, the Bible refers to him in 2 Corinthians 4 as the God of this world. So he rules in the affairs of men, and he rules the kingdoms of the world where we are. He's in control of those things. As powerful as he is, we find that one angel will take hold of that. Now in their rebellion, we're going to look at this next week, the rebellion. They chose, and they have the power to choose, and they have a will. They chose to, which I have for the life of me, understand why he would choose to leave the presence of God. But, okay, letter D, they have various ranks and orders. They have differing ranks, differing orders, such as principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, an archangel, or chief angel. We already read Colossians 1:16, so we see that. At the end of that there, notice there are also the cherubim and seraphim. Only three of the angels' names are given in Scripture: Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. So very clear. By the way, just again, another parenthetical statement here. The Mormons teach you can become an angel, and all of, and I'm not ashamed to say it, all of their nonsense. They have their holy underwear, okay? not the other holy, but the holy. Okay, I shouldn't say that. But you think about, that's what they teach it, right? Oh, not only that, they teach that Satan and Jesus were brothers of some sort. It's just heretical, blasphemous teaching. Okay, now I got a lot of good people that were trying to reach for Christ, and we know that. There's a lot of others. You study the Muslims. They have a lot of twisted understanding about angels. In fact, if you know this, Muhammad, the great prophet, in his own testimony was, if you've read this, he was in a cave one day, went into a cave, and an angel literally grabbed him by the shirt collar and put him up against the wall in a very violent way and told him, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, and you're going to start a new religion. And he said, okay, you're the angel. See, people twist that, don't they? They take something like an angelic being that's used of God as a messenger that is supposed to be something that fulfills the will of God, and they twist it. That's what Satan does. He'll take a church that is God's organization that Jesus put together. He loved the church and died for the church. You ought to want to be a part of what God loves and died for, okay, the church, and he'll twist it. And he'll make it into something sick. He'll make a cult out of it. You know, he'll take everything, a Bible, the Bible, he'll take and twist it and everything else. Okay, we know that. So there's different ranks and orders. And letter E, notice, they make up an innumerable company. Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Revelation 5:11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many, many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, a thousand of thousands. Now, you can come up with your own number there, okay? 10 times, 10 times, thousands and thousands. There's innumerable. Okay. Now, what they're doing right now, I'm not sure, but we know that. Now, here's the last thing, and this is the question I've been asked several times. Are there angels today? Do they appear to us today? Now, on special occasions, no doubt they do. Hebrews 13:1, and I'll wrap it up here with this. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now, this is a little creepy and scary, isn't it? For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And I don't know, maybe you've encountered somebody before. I told this story before, but a pastor friend of mine, he was pulled over at a rest stop one time. This is what he said. I don't know how true. He pulled over at a rest stop one time. And he was tired, and he laid his head back, parked, and laid his head back, and he was resting. And a homeless guy came up and knocked on his window, you know, and he's like irritated, you know. He's like, yeah, what, you know. He just said he rolled his window down about that much. He said, can I help you? He said, yeah, hey, can you give me some change or some money? I need something to eat. He's like, I don't know. So he rummaged through, and I don't know how he told it, but I think he gave him some money. And he's like, okay. And the guy said, hey, can you give me this or that? He's like, no, I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you out. And then the homeless guy, in his frustration, quoted Hebrews 13:1 to him. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Some have entertained angels unaware. And he went, what? And he said, I don't know. He said he did a double take and looked up, and the guy was gone. And he opened his car door, looked, couldn't find him. I don't know. Now, I don't know how accurate that is. But maybe some of you had an experience like that before. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty good story. And if you do have a story like that, we want to hear it. Okay, let me know. But you think about, are they real? Absolutely, they're real. Are they interacting right now with humanity like they were in Bible times? Not so much, but they are present. They are around. And all of us do have some form of a guardian angel. Okay, we don't know the details of that, but truly we do. We must emphasize as well that we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us as believers. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit literally indwells us, and He begins then to lead us, direct us, convict us, help us, empower us to fulfill the will of God. That's what He does. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do that. I mean, I'm not going to go give someone one of these and say, hey, come to church. I don't want to do that, right? I don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to sit down and share the gospel. I'm not going to pray for one of my enemies, right? He helps us to do all of those things. He helps you to be faithful to church, faithful in your marriage, faithful helping your kids and teaching your kids the way of the Lord. And that's what He does. So we must not emphasize only the angel, but they are, angels are around us, they are with us, and they do help us. I was going to have Brother Adam, we couldn't find a good picture, but he was going to put up a real scary picture of an angel all of a sudden. Wouldn't that be cool? The kids? No, that wouldn't be. All right. Anyways. Just wanted to clarify that. Okay, well, take these home. Again, look these verses up for yourself. And if maybe someone wasn't here that you will see here in the maybe tonight or the next couple of days, take them these notes. and let them look it over, because I think there needs to be a lot of clarification on some of these things people get confused about. And they start to worship angels and angelic things. And there's several books out. I'll bring them up next week. But one of them has to do with being deceived by the light. And there's a lot of people that say they saw a bright light and they saw all these things. And we must stick with the book. I know people think we're sometimes a fuddy-duddy and a stick in the mud about stuff, but we got to stick with the book. If not, we get into trouble. And we start falling into some stuff that's not right. Unbiblical healing, unbiblical visions, things like that. We must be very careful, okay? And by the way, I've learned over last couple of years, especially, if you just stick with the book, you'll be safe, right? You won't get into trouble. You'll just stick with the book. Amen, okay? All right. Well, say a prayer tonight to your angel. No, don't say anything to your angel, okay? But thank God for a protective angel in our lives. And one day soon, we're going to see them all, aren't we? Amen. And I can't wait for that day. And there'll be innumerable multitude of angels. I'm excited about that day. All right. Well, I'll be praying for you this week. Again, if you do need anything, please let me know. I want to be of assistance if I can, okay? Keep these prayer requests in mind this week as you pray. And let's go to the Lord at this time. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to share your word tonight as we looked at much of this. Lord, most of us in here already know. Maybe some of the children obviously didn't know much of it, but I do appreciate those here that as we've studied this a little bit in the past, but a good reminder, as so many today are confused. They're confused about who the Holy Spirit is. They're confused about what an angel is and his duty and his job. They're confused about the Word of God, the Church of God. And we want to clarify some of those things that we could be a better minister for you and to reach others for Christ. And we thank you for an opportunity to study your Word tonight. Again, I pray you'd help us as we do go our separate way. Protect us, watch over us, bring us back safely, Lord, on Sunday, that we may once again bring glory to you and worship you the way you deserve it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.